What is good, everybody? This is your guy Manny, and this is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. Hope everybody's doing well. I'm excited. The NFL is down to its last week, and I'm excited because it's been a tough season. It's been one of those seasons where you kind of just want to go ahead and just get to the playoffs. Like, if your team is in the playoffs, you're enjoying it. If your team is not in the playoffs, you're like, man, you know what, man? I'm just ready for something different. I'm just ready for the playoffs. So playoff football is coming. We got the Giants versus the Eagles. The Giants are not going to rest anybody, so I'm excited to see that game. Jalen Hurts should play. If Jalen Hurts does not play, I think the Giants possibly win that game. And I think the Giants win that game, even if Jalen Hurts does play, because he has to now get back in rhythm, right? Then you have Dallas versus the Washington Commanders, and the Commanders are going to be starting a rookie in Sam Howell, who has zero NFL experience. You guys go and check the video that I posted today on YouTube about Sam Howell. Pretty good video. Just giving my predictions on what Sam Howell does versus the Cowboys. I do think the Cowboys have a really good defense. I do think the Cowboys have a championship level type defense. So we'll see what happens there. But let's go ahead and pull up some of the storylines for sports in general. And on this episode, you're going to get a little bit of NBA, you're going to get a little bit of football, just all around sports. So there's reports that the Eagles, Jalen Hurts is trending his way. He's trending right now in order to play as the Eagles chase for number one. So that's a big storyline. Like I said, Jalen Hurts coming back, how does he perform? Is he going to be the same Jalen Hurts that we saw before the injury? We don't know. So big storyline. If Jalen Hurts plays, he definitely increases the chances of the Eagles winning that game. Like I said, the Giants will not rest anybody. The Giants are going to come out there and play well, because guess what? If you don't play well and you end up seeing the Eagles again in the matchup, it's like, why didn't you play your best regardless of, you know, what's going to happen? Continuing. The Dolphins are turning into, they're going to turn to the rookie, you know, Skylar. And Skylar Thompson, he's not good. He's not good. He's not a good quarterback. He's not a good prospect. But you know what? They got to do what they got to do. With Tua Tagovailoa remaining in concussion protocol and Teddy Bridgewater rehabbing his dislocated pinky finger, you have no choice but to go to Skylar Thompson. That's why it's imperative that teams end up being solid in terms of their quarterback room. You got to have a good QB1, QB2, and QB3. You cannot depend on a rookie that you drafted in late rounds to then play meaningful games. I understand. Sometimes you cannot invest that kind of money into the quarterback room, right? It just is what it is. It is what it is, because at the end of the day, if you have to end up depending on a rookie that doesn't have much experience in order to determine whether you make the playoffs or not, it just is what it is. So Skylar Thompson, don't know too much about him, but he just hasn't really, I can't say he's lived up to the hype, because there was no hype coming in, right? He's just a rookie, a late round rookie trying to make a name for himself. But if he's able to win this game, then guess what? He can extend his career. He's been taking first team reps at practice throughout the week. So it's a big, important game for the Dolphins, but they're going to have to rely on the defense, rely on a run game, and then just pray for a miracle that they're able to get this win. So it's unfortunate for Tua Tagovailoa that he's going to miss the most important game of the season. Miami had a great run up until this point, but it's just one of those things where injuries do happen. You know, I'm a Commanders fan. I remember a year when we ran through three quarterbacks and ended up having to go get a guy that didn't really even matter, just because we didn't have another quarterback. So it's important that teams invest in their QB role. When you don't invest, things do happen. And then it's good to have your practice squad solid. Let me look up who that. Okay, so the Dolphins are going to be playing against the Jets this week. And I thought the Jets were eliminated. I believe, the Jets are eliminated. The Dolphins are still in. I went over playoff scenarios not too long ago. It was not on this stream, but let me look up standings real quick. I want to see what the Dolphins have to do to win, and even see if it's even worth it, because there's no need for them to be stressing yet. So the Jets are eliminated. The Jets are going to be playing Joe Flacco. So I'm pretty sure the Dolphins are excited to be playing a Joe Flacco. Andre, what's good, man? Appreciate you hopping on the stream. Andre says, can't believe the owner's thinking about firing McDaniels. That's blasphemy. If the owners fire McDaniels, that would be the most dumbest decision in decision history. You cannot go away from a coach. The Dolphins' previous coach, the name slips my mind right now. He was solid. McDaniels is great. He's a great coach. You know what? If the Dolphins fire McDaniels, I hope the Commanders pick up McDaniels. He's a quarterback guy. He's a coach. The team loves him. He's a player's coach. Great coach, man. Great personality. His team would want to play for him. And Andre says injuries have plagued the Dolphins. Yeah, injuries did plague the Dolphins, and it's unfortunate. Obviously, Tua just continued to get concussions after concussion, injury after injury, and that was the biggest injury of all, was Tua Tagovailoa are getting hurt. I think the Dolphins were a team that could have challenged to come out of the West. I mean, to come out of the AFC. They were that good. With Tariq Hill going there, they built that offensive line. The Dolphins were set up to have a Super Bowl run or to have a chance at a Super Bowl run. They were solid. They were good defensively, good offensively. Injuries was what really knocked them out. So it's real unfortunate. If you guys are new to the channel, please like, please subscribe, and please share. So sad for the Dolphins. Tons of games to kind of get to. I'm going to kind of go through a few games. But I was looking up the standings, right? And for the playoffs right now, in order for the Dolphins to win, they do have the tiebreak over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Pittsburgh Steelers will have to lose. Well, it doesn't even matter what happens to Pittsburgh. If the Pats lose and the Dolphins win, the Dolphins are in. The good thing is the Dolphins are playing the Jets with Joe Flacco as the quarterback, right? Then you have who are the Pats playing? Because it's going to be lots of scenarios this week. The Pats are playing the Bills, so it's looking like Miami could possibly get in. I do not think that the Pats beat the Bills. For the Pats to beat the Bills will have to rest everybody. And I think the Bills continue to play everybody because they're going for that number one seed. Especially with, you know, the game that happened and the game being canceled. Doesn't count as a tie, but guess what? What would the Bills have to do in order to get that number one? So tons of scenarios for the playoffs. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be teams that, you know, let's say the Dolphins get in as a seventh seed and somehow a miracle happens to where they're healthy. Could they run the table? The Dolphins are a well-coached team, you know, so anything could happen. So let's look at some of these games. So there's going to be two games on Saturday. So we get a treat. We get games on Saturday. We get games on Sunday. And we also get a game on Monday. Yes, we get a game on Monday. Do we get a game on Monday? Nope. Sunday is the last day of the season. So it's just Saturday, Sunday, and that's it. So no game on Monday. But we do get the Chiefs versus the Raiders. I'm excited for this game. Why? Because Jarrett Stidham tore it up last week. He had over 350 yards plus. He had three touchdowns. He did have two picks, but he was able to bring out the best out of that offense. They were able to open up the playbook for Jarrett Stidham. But they weren't able to open up the playbook for Derek Carr. Davante Adams is still one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the league. I know Justin Jefferson is nice. I know Cooper Kupp. But at the end of the day, look at the numbers for Devontae. Let me pull it up again. This guy has 95 receptions, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. See, the touchdowns is what separates Davante Adams from the rest of these wide receivers. You know, he puts up the yards. He puts up, I mean, one-on-one, he is a mismatch. And it's funny because Derek Carr could not unlock. I mean, Davante Adams was Davante Adams, but with Jarrett Stidham and the way that McDaniels likes to play, they were really able to unlock the playbook. You know, you got Josh Jacobs who has 1,600 yards. And it's sad that we did not get the Raiders as a team that could potentially make the playoffs or that are in the playoffs. We didn't get that. So not getting that, it does kind of suck. It does kind of suck because I would have loved to see what the Raiders could have brought to the table. You know, they are well coached. Well, you can't say that they're a well coached team. You can possibly say Raiders are a talented team. Talented team. Josh Jacobs had a heck of a season. When people were counting Josh Jacobs out, I've been a Josh Jacobs fan since his rookie season, and he's going to get paid. Somebody's going to give him the bag, whether they franchise tag him. It doesn't really matter what happens. He's going to get paid regardless. Andre says season went by too fast. The season did go by too fast. Yeah, the season did go by too fast because I started playing fantasy football yesterday. I just did my draft. Next thing I know, the championships of fantasy were last week. So it was a fast season, it seemed. And, you know, we just got to enjoy these playoffs. I'll be going out of the country this Saturday, so I'm going to miss the first round of the playoffs. I might miss the second round of the playoffs as well, but it just is what it is. I'm going for a mission. So, you know, I'll be checking, you know, the internet or whatever, but I don't know how much football I'm going to be able to watch. Since the Raiders have mistreated Jacobs, hope he gets the bag, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Jacobs deserves the bag. He's been disrespected for far too long. He's just one of those guys that he's very talented. He's very talented. And look at what he did this season. Let me pull it up. So he had 323 carries, 1,600 yards, 12 touchdowns. And he had a bad game like the last couple weeks. This guy, he was on pace for 1,800 yards rushing. And he still might get that. He still might get that if he plays this week. You have the Titans and Jags. The winner of this game wins the division. And it's sad for a team like the Titans, who had the best record in the NFL last season, to now be a game from missing the playoffs, a division that they ran away with. They looked at, when you looked at this division and you saw the Titans, the Jags, Houston, the Colts, you would laugh. It was a laughable division. But at the end of the day, the Jags are playing lights out right now. Trevor Lawrence is becoming that next elite quarterback. He's going to have over 4,000 yards this year. He has a chance of, he might end up with maybe, you know, 27 touchdowns. You know, Christian Kirk has ended up being a pretty good signing. 78 receptions, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. You get Calvin Ridley back next year. Maybe they add another guy during the draft. You have Zay Jones. You have Evan Ingram, who was brought in on a one-year contract. All these things being put together for the Jags. I love what the Jags are going to be able to do. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Jags can, you know, if the Jags can actually do something that actually resembles a winning culture. But it all starts with winning the division. If you win the division, it changes everything. It changes everything. So I am excited for that team. I'm not a fan of the Jags, obviously, but I'm a fan of, you know, several different guys like Trevor Lawrence. And I'm pulling for him. I was telling my best friend who was a Titans fan. I said, look, Trevor Lawrence could be that next elite quarterback. And he's like, no. Because, I mean, obviously, when you're a Titans fan, you got to go against your rivals, right? He's the same guy that told me that Trevor Lawrence, he doesn't see the special traits that he could, you know, possess. I said, this guy right here, he's your prototypical type quarterback. He has the size. He has the arm. He has the talent. Andre says, are you a believer in Trevor Lawrence? Yes, I'm a believer in Trevor Lawrence. I think that Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be great. He's going to be great. When you look at him, he's 6'6". He has a size. He has the arm. He's that kind of quarterback that you wanted even back then. Okay, is he a pocket passer? He checks that. Can he scramble? Can he move around the pocket? He checks all the boxes for me. Trevor Lawrence is the next best thing, and I've been saying this for a while, and I'm going to continue to say it. I believe in Trevor Lawrence. Let me look at a few guys, a few other teams. So you have the Commanders, you have the Cowboys. I talked about that. I think that, you know, the Cowboys destroy the Commanders this week. They destroy my Commanders this week. Sam Howell, I'm just hoping that Sam Howell is able to play good. I hope that he plays great. You know, I'm hoping that Sam Howell is the franchise quarterback. I'm tired of the quarterback changes in DC. You know, you get this quarterback, you get that quarterback. It's better to go young. At least see what you got in Howell. If it doesn't work, draft another guy and then bring in a vet. It's good to have two young guys and a vet and then kind of see what you have. Most teams that draft their guys, even if you draft guys in later rounds, you see Jarrett Stidham. He was a guy that the Patriots drafted. He's been in that system. the coach now was the offensive coordinator for the Patriots, right? So now you're seeing that you have to draft the guy that fits your system. So if Scott Turner is going to be the guy for the Commanders, you want to draft a guy that fits his system. Enough with, you know, grabbing all these, you know, guys that are vets that don't work out. I'm sick and tired of that. That just doesn't work. You got the Bucs, you got the Falcons. The Bucs already clinched. They already won their division last week. Tom Brady had a heck of a game. And to be honest, I think that Tom Brady, he probably doesn't play. He should play because I want to see him get that record. But there was talks about Mike Evans might not get 1,000 yards. He's had 1,000 yards in each of his, 10 seasons or so? I don't know how many seasons Mike Evans has had, but this guy continues to be great, right? So there were talks like, okay, well, man, Mike Evans, he's slowing down. Oh, Mike Evans this, Mike Evans that. Mike Evans might not break 1,000 yards, blase, blase, blase. And guess what Mike Evans was able to do? 12 targets, 10 receptions, 207 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mike Evans is like, I'm him. Mike Evans said, okay, I need 100 yards or a few yards or whatever the case may be to get 1,000 yards. I'm going to get 200 yards. Now he's at 1,100 yards. You can rest him. His record can, you know, stays intact. People continue to count out Mike Evans, and he continues to produce at a high clip. This guy has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons of 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards in each of his 9 seasons. Who else has done that in the NFL? I cannot think of another wide receiver that has started out his career with 9 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Mike Evans is a beast. Even when you say, oh, his touchdown numbers are down, like he came into the game last week with 3 touchdowns. He left with a total of 6 touchdowns. He has 6 total touchdowns now. Obviously, he got 3 in one game, but Mike Evans is just that dude. He refuses to have a career low as he gets older. And this is battling for targets with guys like Godwin and, you know, all these different guys that are on the Bucs. He continues to show that he's an elite, elite player. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame. He's 29 years old right now. Whenever he gets done playing, he's a Hall of Famer. It doesn't even matter. He doesn't even have to have another catch or another stat. He's already established himself as a Hall of Famer. If his career ended today, 683 catches, 10,425 yards, 81 touchdowns. Hall of Famer. Congratulations, Mike Evans. He's that dude. All right. Enough about Mike Evans, but let's go ahead and look at Tom Brady real quick. What Tom Brady continues to do, so we usually count them out, right? You say, oh, the Bucs are not going to do this. They're not going to do that. Even last week, Tom Brady had one of his vintage games. You know, he had he threw the ball 45 times, completed 34 completions. He had 432 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. This is a Tom Brady-type game. The touchdowns finally flew. Like the rivers of living water, he was just in his bag. He's at 4,600 yards passing right now, second in the NFL. He possibly doesn't come back. You're going to see a lot of Blaine Gabbert. You're going to see a lot of Kyle Trask. Preserve Tom Brady for that wild card matchup at home. It's not his fault that his division was trash. It's not his fault that he had injuries. All Tom Brady was able to do was to get his team into the playoffs, and he stepped up in a big game. A close game versus Carolina. They won 30-24, and Tom Brady just had a vintage Tom Brady moment. He ends the season. If he ends it now, it's 4,600 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. Now, my prediction for Tampa Bay, I don't know how far they go. What I'm going to say is I'm not going to count out Tom Brady because Tom Brady is who he is. He's a beast. What I am going to say is I think this is the last year that you see Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform. Am I saying that Tom Brady is going to retire? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Tom Brady is going to go to another team. He becomes a free agent. And I think my gut tells me that Tom Brady is going to be a Vegas Raider. He's going to go out there, team up with Davante Adams. They have a solid defense. You have Hunter Renfrow, which is a Tom Brady type of slot wide receiver, right? Winfrow's great. He's great. And with Tom Brady in fantasy, it's time to buy Winfrow. I'm just telling you right now. Buy Winfrow right now before Tom Brady gets to Vegas. You have Darren Waller, another Tom Brady type tight end. So, and then Gronkowski's talking about, oh, I don't mind coming back. Can you imagine Gronkowski and Darren Waller on the same team with Renfro, Devontae Adams, and then the rest of these boys? I mean, it could get really, really exciting for Raiders fans. So I do think Tom Brady goes to the Raiders, but we'll see what happens. Let me look at all the other interesting games. The Vikings and the Bears. The Vikings are still fighting potentially for that number one seed. I don't know if they get it, if they don't, but that's going to be an interesting game. Vikings versus the Bears. Also, when you look at the Ravens and the Bengals, you know, both teams already, you know, in, but the Bengals still want that number one seed. So we'll see what happens there. Joe Burrow has been playing great this season. I mean, the guy, let's just look at his numbers real quick. Joe Burrow just continues to, produce at a high clip. I mean, he's amazing. When you're looking for a quarterback, he is like, when I say Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, the NFL is in great hands. These new young quarterbacks that are coming up, I mean, they are amazing. So Joe Burrow right now is at 4,200 yards passing, 34 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. And this is with having Ja'Marr Chase being hurt, T. Higgins being hurt. He hasn't had his full complements of weapons all the time. You know, you have Tyler Boyd, who happens to be one of the best number three wide receivers in the league. So T. Higgins right now, 1,000 yards. Ja'Marr Chase, when it's all said and done, had he played that last game, he would have had 1,000 yards. He's going to get 1,000 yards. He needs 40 yards to have 1,000 yards. Tyler Boyd has 711 yards. And all three guys, Higgins has 7 touchdowns. Chase has 8 touchdowns. Boyd has 5 touchdowns. And then you go down the line with Mixon having 400 yards, Hurts having 400 yards. He just spreads the ball. P. Ryan and the rest of these guys, they are really talented offensively. And I honestly think the Bengals continue to add to their offense. So don't be surprised next year if you see an upgraded tight end, if you see an upgrade at wide receiver. Maybe they get a guy that's better than Boyd, and Boyd becomes expendable. I mean, you just never know. You just never know. I just see teams like this continue to get better. I think they're going to add a running back to this core. Mixon didn't have a great season or a good season. He was okay. You know, he had that one big game. Right now he's at 787 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. That's not a good Mixon year compared to the year he had last year. And that's why I don't fool with Joe Mixon in fantasy. I'm just not a Joe Mixon kind of guy. And you see it there. But Joe Mixon did have a lot of work in the receiving game. So you have to also respect that facet of the game for Joe Mixon. So, yeah, the Bengals look good. They can beat anybody. They're solid defensively. I mean, this is a team that can get back to Super Bowl. Do not be surprised if you see the Bengals back in the Super Bowl. That's all I'm saying. All right, moving on along. We have the Texans playing for the number one pick. My bold prediction is that the Texans lose this game to the Colts. Even if they win, it doesn't matter. I think the Texans are locked into that number one overall pick. And the number one overall pick, the Houston Texans select Bryce Young. And I think that Bryce Young is going to be good once John Metchie comes back from his illness. I pray that he's fully healed. When he comes back from his illness, that Bryce Young and John Metchie connection is going to be sick. It's going to be nasty. If you play Dynasty football, this is the time to go ahead and grab you some John Metchie shares. I'm telling you right now, you heard it here. I'm giving you guys some hot takes. I've given you guys Tom Brady to the Vegas Raiders. I've given you guys Bryce Young, which is not necessarily a hot take because, I mean, they have number one pick. And to me, the number one prospect, the number one quarterback is Bryce Young. I think that Bryce Young has the chance to be a special quarterback. There's other quarterbacks that are intriguing, but this is not the show for that. The Jets and Dolphins, we talked about that game. Panthers and Saints, they're playing for nothing. It's just, at this point, you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks being played because, you know, situations and things have already been, you know, ironed out. You have the Pittsburgh Steelers who still have a chance somehow. It's great to have great coaches because great coaches will push you all the way until the end of the season. Mike Tomlin is a heck of a coach. Kudos to him rallying these guys with Trubisky and a rookie. I mean, it just is what it is. So they're playing the Browns, and the Browns are a sneaky team. I will not be surprised if the Browns won. I will not be surprised if the Browns lost. Chargers and Broncos. This game is pretty much already locked up. It's just ironing out some things. The Giants and Eagles is going to be one of the best games of the day on Sunday. I'm excited for that game. I think I'm going to watch that game. And I think the Giants pull it off. The Giants beat the Eagles. And my prediction is that the Cowboys get that number one seed. But here's the kicker. The very next week when the Cowboys get out there and they play, the Cowboys will lose that game. So it doesn't matter. This is just what the Cowboys do. The Cowboys play so well in the regular season that, you know, they're like, we them boys. Oh, we do this, we do that. But at the end of the day, when you get in the playoffs, they choke. And that's who the Dallas Cowboys are. I think that the 49ers are the best team in the NFC. I've been saying it the minute they signed Christian McCaffrey, before they started to gel. I felt that they were the best team in the NFC. And now you guys are seeing it. Even when Jimmy Garoppolo went down, I saw one game out of Brock Purdy and I said, you know what? They're still the best team in the NFC. So they're the team that's most complete. Yes, they had a terrible defensive showing last week versus Jared Stidham. Maybe it could be they don't have anything on Jared Stidham. They didn't know how to prepare for Jared Stidham. But at the end of the day, you don't want to see the 49ers in the first round or second round. That's the team to beat. They played the cards. We'll see what they do. They have to play in order to, you know, advance more, or, you know, playoff positioning and things of that nature. The Seahawks, they're still fighting. The Lions and Packers are still fighting. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up that NFC scenario. And it's beautiful how they have this Lions and Packers game for the last game of the year. The winner possibly gets into the playoffs. And you see how the Seahawks and Rams game comes first. So I'm going to give the implications on both the Lions and Packers as well as the Seahawks. Give me 1 second. I had to get that good old water in my system. All right, so pull up the standings one more time. And let's look at the playoff scenario. So right now, currently, you have the Seahawks who have an 8-8 record, right? And they have the tiebreak over the Lions, and they have a tiebreak over the Green Bay Packers. Now, in order for the Lions to make it, the Lions have to win, right, over Green Bay. And obviously, the Seahawks have to lose. In order for Green Bay to make it, they got to beat the Lions. And then the Seahawks have to lose. So it's amazing how they had that Seahawks game first. If the Seahawks lose, which I hope the Seahawks lose so we can have a treat, it would be beautiful to see Lions and Packers, winner takes all, as the last game of the 2022 season. And this is why. Imagine if the Seahawks won. Then we're watching this game on Sunday where Aaron Rodgers might not even play. And what if this is the last game for Aaron Rodgers in his career? We do not want to be deprived of that. So, back to who these guys are playing. Let me go back to who the Seahawks are playing. The Seahawks are playing the Rams. And to be honest, I mean, you're going to like right now, the Packers and Lions are cheering for Baker Mayfield. They're hoping that Baker Mayfield can be a hero because the Rams have nothing to play for. Why should the Rams help Green Bay or even the Lions? But the Rams are division rivals with the Seahawks. You know, you got Geno Smith playing well, 4,000 yards this year, passing and 29 touchdowns. He's going to be at over 30 touchdowns this year, right? He's going to be over 4,000 yards passing this year. You have Kenneth Walker, who is a phenomenal rookie. He's going to have over 10. He's going to have over 1,000 yards. He's going to have over 10 touchdowns this season. You have DK Metcalf, who people were saying was slowing down. He seems to not be slowing down. So I love the energy of the Seahawks. It'll be a great story if they were able to make it. They traded away Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson didn't work out. And then it wasn't the Rams. It wasn't Arizona. It was Seattle. The team that was supposed to come in last place that ends up being second place in that division. And when you look at their what they've done this season, right? They had Rashad Penny. He was playing so, so well. Then he gets hurt, right? He gets hurt. Kenneth Walker, who was the guy they drafted, very high to come in and be the franchise back, and he's been everything as advertised. In the receiving game, you had Tyler Lockett, who would have had 1,000 yards this year if he played, if he didn't get hurt. But he's been hurt. He might play this next game, which is very important. If he plays, there's no doubt in my mind that he gets another 1,000-yard season. Like, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, this duo right here is a duo that you want. Like, every team wants a DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Doesn't matter who your quarterback is. These guys are just that good. And then you have Noah Fant, who's one of the better tight ends in the league. It's just that he hasn't really just been in a perfect situation. He only had 59 targets. For some reason, Geno Smith does not like throwing a ball to Noah Fant, right? So Noah Fant, 466 yards, 4 touchdowns. And, you know, it just kind of goes down from there. Like, who are the other weapons outside of your big three, right? But Noah Fant is a really, really good, quarterback. I'm sorry, Noah Fant is a really, really good tight end. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. But yeah, the Seahawks have been solid. And Geno Smith has just been the biggest surprise to have 4,000 yards, to be on pace for a 30-touchdown pass season. It's amazing. Being sacked 43 times did not affect his play. This guy has been an MVP-type candidate. You know, when you look at what Geno has done in his career, he's a guy that has struggled in his career, right? He's never had, prior to this year, he's never thrown the ball for more than 3,000 yards. And that was his rookie season. His rookie season, he had 3,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. 21 interceptions in his rookie year. When you throw that many picks in your rookie year, that breaks you. Most people cannot come back from that. But this guy kept going. The second season, 2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. He lowered the interceptions, but the touchdown number, the upside wasn't there. After that, he was done. He was done pretty much. And he kind of bounced around from the Jets to the Giants to the Chargers and then the Seahawks. He's been a backup for 3 years. Gets his opportunity this year, and he tears it up. He tears it up, and this is like, what, year 9 or whatever it is, or year 10. He's 32 years old. You know, he has not been this relevant since his rookie season. So since 2013 till now, he has never been this relevant, and he's now relevant and, you know, taking the Seahawks places. So if the Seahawks win that game, that Packers-Lions game is not – I mean, that Packers and Lions game is not even going to matter. But I'm cheering for him to win, but at the same time, I want that Lions and Packers game to matter. I want it to matter. I want to see Jared Goff with guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown and you know, the rookie Jameson Williams and then Swift and Jamal Williams. You know, that's just – as a fan of football, you want to see the best football at all times. But let's go ahead and highlight the Lions. Let's go ahead and give Jared Goff his flowers. This guy's been great this season. Over 4,200 yards passing, right? 29 passing touchdowns. 7 interceptions. These are even way better numbers than Geno Smith, if we're being honest. I mean, he has more passing yards than Geno. He has the same amount of touchdowns as Geno. He has less touchdowns as Geno. But Jared Goff does not get his respect. They were saying, oh, Jared Goff is a bridge. He's a placeholder. They were already announcing that C.J. Stroud was going to go to the Lions. When you look at all the mock drafts here and there, it's crazy to me. And then you have Jamal Williams, who's been a career backup in Green Bay, and he does some pretty good things. And this year, he's on pace for another 1,000-yard season. He needs 6 more yards. If you're a betting man, you can bet that Jamal Williams gets 6 more yards. Or you can bet that Jamal Williams doesn't get 6 more yards, especially if this game doesn't matter and they happen to bench Jamal Williams, you can make a lot of money. I'm just saying. I won't make that bet, but I'm just saying. It's a risky bet. You have DeAndre Swift out there. He didn't have a good season this year. And, you know, partially to him being hurt, but also even when he wasn't hurt, he wasn't getting the touches. He just wasn't gelling in that offense. Even what he does best, which is receiving the ball, he didn't even do that. So I don't know what happens with DeAndre Swift. In Dynasty, fantasy leagues, I'm getting rid of all of my shares of Swift at the right price. But shout out to my guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 100 catch season, 1,100 yards total, and then 6 touchdowns. And he also did some things in the rush game. So, you know, it just is what it is. It is what it is. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's great. These guys got weapons. And I see the Lions continuing to add to the weapons they already have. So, man, Lions going to be exciting for years to come. Who knew that Dan Campbell would have these guys humming on all cylinders, even defensively? They were able to hit on some draft picks. You know what I'm saying? Great linebacker play. And just, I mean, Lions are good. It's not going to be easy for Green Bay. If we're being honest, the Lions have a better team than Green Bay this season. It just is what it is. All right. So let's also see. You have Green Bay. Let's look at what they've done this season. You had Aaron Rodgers on a down year, right? He's never really been a big yardage guy passing the ball. He's been a big touchdown guy. He hasn't had that. Shout out to Quay Walker, their draft pick this year, 114 tackles. Jaire Alexander, 5 interceptions. Where the Green Bay Packers struggled was the wide receiver. So with Aaron Rodgers getting 3,400 yards passing, 25 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, he sacked 30 times. The offensive line was bad, but you had good running backs in Aaron Jones, 1,000 yards, A.J. Dillon, over 700 yards. Both guys had 2 and 7 touchdowns respectively, and both guys were also factors in the pass game. Dillon had 206 yards, and then Aaron Jones had 375 yards. Both guys are going to be over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. Both guys are great. But the wide receivers, Alan Lazard, 747 yards. Christian Watson, who came on about 6-7 weeks ago, 507 yards. Robert Tonyan, 400 yards. Romeo Dobbs, who had a great start to the season, then he slowed down and got hurt and this and that. 400 yards. Cobb. I mean, this receiving core is the worst receiving core that Aaron Rodgers has ever had in his career. And then there's talks that Aaron Rodgers might not return. Well, how is he not going to return with that contract? And then you can't even trade that contract. So do you cut Aaron Rodgers and he goes where he wants to go, and then you let Jordan Love, start his thing? It just all depends on how this season goes, especially if they lose. So we will see what happens there. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, I'm excited for this Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be great. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I'm going to catch you guys on the next one. This is your guy, Manny. Please like, please subscribe, please share to the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. This is the Talking Sports with Manny podcast. I'll catch you guys on that next episode. I'm out. Peace.